Session number 7496.
Mr. Pilling, Reel 1. Could you tell me something about your family background before the war?
Well, there were 5 children in our family, and father and mother. Father's wage was 24 shillings a week. I went to a day school at Eastwood till I was 8 years old, and then we moved to Ebden Bridge. And Ebden Bridge, I went to Central School till I was 12. And then I went half time for 0.5 crown a week. One week it were mornings. That was 6 mornings. The other week were 5 afternoons. And you got 0.5 crown a week.
Where were you working then?
Ebden Bridge.
What house?
Well, what they called a reacher in. But that mill is destroyed now. It was cotton trade. Cotton trade, yes.
So you were doing this when war broke out, were you?
No. When war broke out, we moved back to Dobbin area. A place called Eastwood. And
can you remember what you were doing on August the 4th when...
I was a weaver.
Do you remember anything about what you felt when the war started? Were you pleased or anything like that?
No, but, you know, there were a little bit of this here, my brother's gone, they should go, that sort of thing, women, you know, you heard that a bit like. Because, I mean, we didn't go till December, and it started in August, so we didn't go right first day, you know.
So you weren't keen to enlist then?
No. I was, my pal went, and so I went. But
you didn't really?
I'm not swaggering about it. No.
Did you ever?
Found out I made a mistake. We volunteered, you know, and you can't volunteer to come out. That's one thing. You can't say I've had enough when you find out it you don't like. You've got to stop it. You've got to say.
Did you have any trouble with people giving you white feathers or anything
no.
like that?
No. Oh, no. No. Of course, it isn't a big place in Dunmaden, you know, and whatnot, so we didn't see a lot of people. No, we didn't have any unpleasantness, only just the same as locally. One or two had gone, you know, and the sister was saying, my brother's gone. Well, of course, everybody should please themselves, but there were a little bit of that, but not too much.
So where did you go to sign up?
Rochdale.
And what happened when you signed up? Can you remember?
Well, we have to go and see a doctor, you know, don't we? Well, we thought we might get refused. We didn't. We little know. we little knew it, how to do. I don't know. There were no refusals, I think. And then we marched about Rochdale, just marching, no tells, only a fortnight. We were billeted in people's houses. They paid people so much to billet us, and, you know, they fed us, like, you know. But then we went on to Southport.
What did your family think when you signed up?
Well, I don't know. Well, they hadn't much idea that it would be such a big doer, you know.
Had you seen the casualty figures by this time from...
I wasn't bothered about that, I don't think. You see, there were a younger brother than me, and he joined the Navy at 18 years old. So all three of us, three lads, were in forces. So I don't know what whether they thought they were doing enough or what.
Had you ever seen that famous Kitchener poster with him pointing?
Yes, of course I have, with his great big moustache.
Did it have any effect on you? Did it help make you decide to join up?
That was Kitchener's army, wasn't it? Don't you think it were a bit later than 1914? I don't know just when it had been, really. Because conscription weren't brought in for a bit after that, were it?
So, when you went to Southport?
Yes.
Had you got your uniform by the time?
Oh, yes. We got the uniform at Southport, yeah. And we had the Japanese rifles. We never had to fire them, you know. To carry about, right? They were Japanese rifles.
And what sort of training did you do?
Well, we went to a place called Altgar to fire us a course, you know, at different ranges. Mm. Apart from that, it was marching. We marched from Southport towards Ormskirk, a day of a job. We get back early after breakfast, you know, march towards Ormskirk. I don't say we got to it. Then we turned back and we'd be home for tea time, you know. That's training. Apart from that, I trained as a signaller. I learnt Morse code at Southport. I could do a bit on it's a different system as a post office to what the army it was like a buzzer affair. Well, it didn't in the post office, you know. I couldn't do a lot of that sort, but...
Did you do much signal training?
Well, only as regards sending messages, you know, and receiving, and I could do very fair at that, like. I could do about 20 words a minute. I think I could do some now if I heard it. Well, I have a wireless in there to get shortwave. I try a bit sometimes to follow it, but I'm forgetting, you know, signals now. But I used to know them all off, like, you know, ABC and what they are. But,
did you do anything in this signal training? Did you do anything else besides the tapping and learning the Morse code? Did you learn anything else about wirelesses and things?
No.
When you were at Southport, were you in billets still, or had you gone?
Yes, I can take it to Bowl Street, 29 Bowl Street.
And how did you get on with the family you were billeted with?
All right. We were moved into another billet after a bit. And, you know, well, we were teetotal, you know. Well, we had a chap that weren't teetotal. And when we gone to bed at night, it came up, you know, and we locked the door. We wouldn't have him in our bedroom. We get some nice CB for that. It caused a disturbance. We didn't expect getting into trouble for that, but of course he had to come in, you know. But I don't say we're really drunk, but anyway, he wasn't teetotal.
How did you find army life? Your first, you know, first introduction to it. Did you lack privacy? Did you find the lack of privacy or anything like that uncomfortable?
Well. No, that weren't so bad.
What about the discipline? Did you have any trouble with that?
Well, I don't think I could really say I had any trouble because I tried to keep some of the, you know, to do as we were expected to do. I didn't like having to do 7 days back drill, and it were on underneath Prom at Southport, you know. We were in full view of visitors, you know, but do an hour marching about, you know, with a sergeant about the quick marching, it's like.
On the sand, was this?
No, on lower, like, below Prom, but not on sand. Oh, no, it were a hard surface. Near pier. No, it were on sand.
Was there anything else you had to do while you were being confined to barracks besides this pack drill?
No. Oh, no. No, no, that's just, that's about it. No, you knew you had to do it so it was no use bothering you. It's what you'd taken the job on. No, I didn't do no wrong, but barring that, and that worry. I was demobbed in February 1919. Yes. Well, the armistice were 11th of November, and we'd signed on for the duration of the war. Well, it had finished then, the government said it wasn't. It were an armistice, it hadn't finished, which we didn't agree with. And I think there was some trouble in Egypt and whatnot and abroad about getting them home, you know. The chaps are the same as us, signed on for duration of war. You have to admit it were a difficult job to get them all home, with, you know, straight away, all them.
Did you see any trouble?
No.
In your battalion?
No, no, oh no.
Getting back to 1915, when you were training, how did you get on with your officers and your NCOs? What were your relationship like with the officers?
Well, you see, there are different castes of youth officers, the privates. I don't think I respected them, but I don't say out above that. They were bosses.
And how about your NCOs? Did you get on well with them?
Both sorts. There's some that wanted to be getting promotion, you know, and being a bit official. No, not too bad, I'd say.
Did you do any tactical training, you know?
No.
None at all?
No, I know. We just fired a course at Elkhart, and we went to Crowborough, you know, and from Crowborough we went straight into front line, into trenches, front line. So well,
how long were you at Southport before you moved to Crowborough?
Well, we went in May and we left Crowborough 1st of August, you know, so that's only about 3 months. We had route marches there, that's all the work. Crowborough, rope marches. I remember we marched to Tunbridge Wells. I can remember that as one of the marches. But
no tactical training at all about how you'd fight. Or did you do any practice for digging trenches?
They hung some bags of straw up or something. One do. You had to charge them, you know, and shout. We fixed bayonets, you know, you shove them into that's. But it were never used, you know. It were never used.
Did you have any practice in digging trenches?
Not so much, no. I think they were there already when we got to Crowborough. It was a camp that had been used before we went there, you know. It wasn't a new camp, I don't think. And I think it's still there. I think it is.
But you didn't do any practices of making attacks on trenches or anything like that?
No. Oh, well, no, but when I got to Gallipoli, I was sent on a course. That means I come back from behind front line, front trenches, down towards sea, right? Of course, as a bomber, they were going to, this is their theory, bomber goes in front in trenches and throws a bomb off at top into trenches, and then chaps behind follows it on with bayonets fixed. But it were never put into practice, you understand. They never did any at all. So I had a week there training, and I passed because I was like interested in cricket, and I fancied myself at this year bowling, and like, so I could lob them over all right. You know, trenches isn't straight. They aren't a straight line, you know, in the trench. It's this here, right there.
Zigzagging, yeah, traverse.
They call them traverses. Well, that's so they can't fire, you know, and enfilade all trench, you know, only short distance. That's the idea, I think. Yes.
So, when you were at Crowborough, when did you get your first news that you were going to Gallipoli? Did you know you were going to Gallipoli?
No. No.
What? Where did you think you were going?
Well, Egypt for training.
More training.
Of course, I'd known. Of course, you don't need none.
did you get any special uniform or kit before you left?
No. Oh no.
Did you know that you were part of a division or a? Did you see any sort of unit identity above your battalion? I mean, did you think of yourself as part of a brigade or a division?
Oh, we knew we were in a division. Huh? Oh, yeah.
Did you see any senior officers from the division? Or?
Well, yes. At Southport, we had a parade. All blinking lot on us one Sunday morning. That a woman being attacked by a soldier, you know. And they brought this woman all down the line to identify chap that had attacked her.
Yeah.
And come officers with her. But I don't know what it came to anything in it. That's about all.
So where did you go to from Crowborough? You set off for Gallipoli eventually, but which port did you sail
Devonport.
From? Devonport. Devonport. And what was the, when you left Crowborough or Devonport, was there any civilians to see you off?
Well, there ain't. There weren't any civilians to see us come back neither. There were none of that. There's been in these Falcons, too. Totally different. No, we didn't. It was secret, you know. It was secret. Oh.
And what ship did you sail on from Devonport?
Acadian.
What were the conditions like on this ship?
Well, they were all right. You know, we'd never been anywhere, only to Southport and Morecambe before we went on. We'd never been on sea, you know. Well, they had a swimming pool on the, you know, in Acadian. There was a swimming pool. And all around it were like sort of wire beds, you know, like it was just wire to, well, about 2 or 3 heights to make it into a troop ship, you know, from being a passenger ship. But they had a canteen on board and you could buy stuff, you know.
Did you get seasick at all?
No, I could. I said then I wouldn't mind how long it lasted. It was just like a canal or a lake. It were same as Mediterranean. It were as calm as a lake, if you like to say. No trouble.
Were you worried about submarines at all?
Well, not going, but I can tell you. We had a submarine scare coming back from Egypt to France in 1917.
Oh, I'll take that then, when we get to that.
We didn't have a... We had torpedo fired at us coming back to France. That was in February.
Yeah, I'll take that in order.
That's 1917 about.
Did you visit Malta or anywhere on the way?
Oh, yes. Malta's all right, you know. But you couldn't go on. they didn't let you go on no land into Malta. Mm-hmm. But they took on coal, you know. I don't know how much they take on, but they call it the Grand Harbour at Malta, you know, the lettering, don't they? Well, I don't know whether it took a day or more, you know, they have to take a lot of coal on. But, we went to Malta, and from Malta we went to Port Said, you know, that's at north. And from there we went, we're on our way then, to Gallipoli then.
When did you first find you were going to Gallipoli? Do you know when you first knew?
Well, I don't think we were ever told. We sort of guessed after we left Egypt, you know. I don't think we were ever told where we were going. I don't think we were.
Did you stay long at Egypt, at Portsaid?
Oh, no. No. They might have been taking coal on or something. I don't know what we did there. But I think we only, same as we're about a day there.
So you didn't get off the ship again?
Oh, no. There's no getting off. No. No, there's no getting off.
When you heard you were when you first realised or guessed you were going to Gallipoli, what was your reaction? How did you feel about that? What had you heard about Gallipoli?
Well, your reaction is you go in there and you don't know what you'll find.
You didn't know anything about it at all, did you?
No. What is it? I think it were there were that, but. No.
How did you arrive at Gallipoli? Did you go to one of the islands first, or?
No, I went into Mildred's Bay, you know. There's a fair. Now then, is Mildred's Bay, is it Imbros, the island? Is it, you know, the land? Well, it's part of an island, but like. We're Bay, Mildred's Bay. Well, from Mildred's Bay, we get into fast motorboats, you know. And they have it all timed from setting off to arriving at Gallipoli in dark, you know. They manage that all right. I think it's Tar ND that took us in fast motorboats. There were 100 in our draft that were going. I think R&D are sort of, they can either be soldiers or sailors. They won't, I don't think they dressed in blue and white business, but anyway, it was Navy, part of Navy, it took us there in these fast motorboats. But they have it, you know, they can, it doesn't matter about dark for them, does it? It's about getting where they want to go, but we got there and we did. You couldn't see anything, you know, at all.
You were a draft then, were you?
Yes,
you weren't an actual a whole battalion.
No. See? No. For a start, they sent a draft in June, 100, from Crowborough, or from our. July, they sent another draft of 100. And then third draft, I were on that in August.
And what was the battalion you were going to join?
Oh, we joined the 1st Battalion, Territorial, 6LF, Lancashire Fusiliers, but they weren't regulars, you know. So we weren't called it the Army, I think, weren't Territorial. We were doing the same job, but we were Territorial.
What was the name of the unit at Crowborough? Did that have a name, the battalion, from which the drafts came? Did that have a name?
No, I don't know not about a name. It was just a camp, and you know, I don't know if you were ever interested in Conan Doyle and all it. Do you have a heart about him? I know, haven't you? Well, he came to address us once, and he lived near Crowborough, and he'd gone and Doyle. And he had a room somewhere, and he was telling us about a division that had been lost in France. They didn't know where it were.
Do you remember anything else about Conan Doyle?
Well, Sexton Blake and such like things. I've been interested in reading about him, and, you know, and Dr. Somebody, weren't he? Baker Street,
Did you know he'd written the Sherlock Holmes stories when you saw him?
Oh, yes. Well, that's how we knew him, I think. He was famous then, I think. That's how we knew him.
What could you see when you approached W Beach in this motorboat then?
Note, it was dark. Pitch black, we didn't see anything. Morning, daybreak, we didn't know where we were or not. We had to lie down and for night.
Was that on the beach you lay down?
We'd have gone inland a bit, I suppose. Not just on the beach, no.
And so the first night you just slept out?
Yes. Well, it looked to me it was daft-like, you know. But we must have been safe. They knew where we were putting us, but there were no tents, no cover. See? We were out in the open.
Can you remember what you could see when you woke up in the morning? What you could see from where you were of the beach in the area?
No particular, you know.
There's no sort of first impressions of Gallipoli that you can remember?
No. So there were no houses, no.
What was the ground like and the vegetation? Can you remember that?
No, not really.
So where did you go on waking up?
Well, this guide came from our battalion that were joining, you know, and we went up this gully. Daybreak, so they fetched us, and no, we didn't know. No, we marched up. I don't know how far it would be, but it was the front line trench, you know. There were reserve trenches farther back, like, you know, but we went straight into front line, and it was a very thinly held front line and all. Now then, we hadn't been there long.